So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Brought to you by MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And man, I tell you what, it's been a busy, busy day. It gets a little crazy around these parts. And, you know, you're always investigating something. And there was a lot of local news that we just flat out didn't get time to talk about last night. We had Councilman David James on here defending his Barbara Shanklin vote. And Chris told me to talk about pensions, and we will be bringing Chris back next week. For you guys who listened to the replay today from last night's show, he is coming back. We're going to talk about a lot more, man. Just stay tuned for it. But in the meantime, we've always got so much to talk about. We never really run out of information. Ed Martin will be off again tonight, so you're stuck with me running solo, which I know just breaks your heart, and that's okay. It breaks mine, too, but it'll be all right. We'll get through it. Let's go ahead and get started. I tell you, the Courier-Journal is reporting, and this is a case that I've been watching really close. For quite some time now, Constable David Whitlock once again avoided jail on Friday afternoon. As part of a 2012 plea agreement that Constable Whitlock entered into, he couldn't be around any guns or anything else. Prohibited from carrying a firearm for 1 year. His diversion program lasted 1 year, and he could never seek a law enforcement position again. Well, this is all because he shot an unarmed woman named Tammy Ortiz, who was identified in the now clearly infamous Walmart video right here in Louisville. He decided to play a gangster cop and start shooting at an unarmed woman in a car as she was pulling away, just because his name is David Whitlock and he gets protection. So anyway, this is like the third diversion this kid has been in. And I say kid loosely because he is. He's an immature little kid. There's nothing adult or responsible about this moron. But he continues getting diversion, And this is the third time. Well, at least this time they said that he can never seek a law enforcement position again. But to my knowledge, he's never been removed as constable since this all started. So technically, I guess by law, he is still a constable because the state has not done anything to remove him from that. Well, now he gets to avoid a jail, even though he's running something called a Securus. He's a front man for a company called Securus. It's supposed to be a security agency, like your burn security and stuff. And he's running it with his good friend and co-conspirator and co-illegal garbage man, Mike Stevens, and Cody Whitaker. But it's interesting because Securus talks about how their business offers site security, pre-employment background checks, traffic control services, and oh yes, by the way, concealed carry license training. Now, these are the same guys who actually ran concealed carry in his old office at the Kmart Plaza on Dixie Highway and shot around into the Jefferson County Clerk's office next door right through the wall, miraculously missing everybody. How that happened, we'll never know. But he's not supposed to be around guns or anything to do with that kind of stuff. So he gets caught because of this security firm he's running, and all he does is go to court and agrees to not have hands-on with this security company until his diversion is over, which, by the way, is about 4 months from now. So essentially, he got a get-out-of-jail-free card again. Now, I know he's protected by Bob Henderson at one point. There's a lot of rumors out here about some of the people he runs with. We know he was fencing some stolen goods. Can you prove it? Will these people go forward and go public? No, because they're scared of backlash. But all this is going on, and this is David Whitlock. He's scum of the earth. Michael Stevens and Cody Whitaker are the same way. Cody Whitaker is a kid that's underage that was given a gun by Whitlock. Hell, Mike Stevens even shot Cody Whitaker in the chest with a round out of a 10-gauge shotgun, or 12-gauge, and nothing was ever done about that, and Cody was underage. So, you know, we've got all of these different things, but this guy got a get-out-of-jail-free card once again. Guys, I'm telling you right now, anybody that sees Whitlock around town, anywhere, sees him with Mike Stevens, Cody Whitaker, there's pictures on our website. Go to edspringston.com. You can find them. Go to LouisvillePolitics.com. They're on there as well. Anywhere, take a cell phone picture. Take a little video, something, and send it to me at myviewmatters@AOL.com. If you're out in the PRP area or somewhere local like that, because that's where I spend a lot of my time these days, give me a call, 417-5383. I will meet you. I want to catch these guys in the act of being together, and I want Stevens caught with a weapon that he's screwing around with Whitlock on. I want this guy behind bars. I can't stress that enough. This guy has done enough. I want him behind bars. This is now personal to me. You know, the Metro Council got involved in doing an investigation on this guy because I gave them the information that everything he was doing was felonious illegal behavior, impersonating officers and everything else. Nothing was ever done about it by LMPD, PSU, PIU, or Stinky PU, whoever you want to put in that position in use. So we're going to make sure, we're going to follow through with this. This guy is going to go because he needs to go. In the meantime, we've got other things involving so-called law enforcement officials. A federal grand jury this week indicted a deputy with the Pulaski County Sheriff's Office, charging him with violating the civil rights of a victim by using excessive force in August of 2008. I have personal experience with idiots violating your civil rights after my arrest last July. They do it all the time. So the fact that this is Pulaski County doesn't mean anything. It's just business as usual. But according to a Courier-Journal article, the indictment says that on August 24th, 2008, Deputy Stephen Molin assaulted and injured an unnamed victim, an unarmed victim as well. So there is going to be a grand jury. They indicted Molin on two counts of violating civil rights. I'm sure there's going to be, the lawsuit is already going to be filed. I'm sure there's going to be a payoff, which is exactly what they do. What you guys don't really understand is the police want to pull you over. They spend more time pulling people over for seatbelt violations because they get paid for that. The city gets paid for that. The department justifies their being for that. The cops actually get paid for that because that money comes back to them to make sure they keep their jobs, right? It pays their paycheck. You know, and in some cases, in some counties, not necessarily here in Kentucky, right here in Louisville, these guys get paid bonuses for the amount of rest and all these other things they do so that they can justify their worth, I guess. But they want to spend their time going after you for these seatbelt violations and ignore the real crime that people are getting killed. People are getting robbed. Drugs are running rampant. We don't have time to go after a drug dealer because we've got to get this seatbelt. Or you go out and you falsely arrest and falsely accuse somebody like me, a middle-aged white guy with no criminal record, because you assume that I've got money that you can do anything you want to. And, of course, that cost them a few $1,000s that they had to settle with just a few months ago. I sued. I won. That was a no-brainer. But that's the position they do, because 9 out of 10 people won't take any action, so they play the actuary game. They play the game that we arrest X amount of people, we collect X amount of money, less than 10% will sue. Because we go to jury trials, juries typically feel sorry for the police, so they're not going to get big money at a jury trial and hold them accountable. So most people are going to settle out of court out of that 10% that actually do something about the illegality of these guys. And it's a net gain. If you take in $100,000 on false arrests and garbage for jail fees, court costs, all the other stuff, and you only pay out $10,000 because one person out of 10 is going to sue and they're going to get an average of $10,000, that's $90,000 net gain. Abuse all the people you want to. We're making money. It's a profit scheme. So this is what's going to happen in Pulaski County. It's business as usual. Violate rights. One person is going to go ahead and sue for it. They're going to end up with $10,000 or $15,000. The sheriff's going to get a slap on the wrist, just as these two officers that did mine. They got absolutely nothing done to them. It was really hilarious. But anyway, they're going to get a slap on the wrist. But either way, they're going to continue this abusive behavior because juries aren't taking it serious enough to hold these cities and these cops accountable. That's life. In the meantime, you guys don't really want to hear about that all the time. So let's get into what's going on with the latest in the whole McConnell, Bevin, Lundigan, Grimes. Let's just go ahead and get into their latest soap opera, if you will. I just really get sick of the soap opera. It's kind of funny to me how it
goes.
What
a maroon. What an ignoramus.
All right, Bugs, man, leave me alone. I know. I don't like going down this road either, but I've got to. The latest in the soap opera saga, according to Mitch McConnell's campaign, Bevin has lied about his MIT education. And McConnell's not lying. He's right. Bevin did. Matt Bevin, Mitch McConnell's opponent in the Republican primary for Senate, continues getting nailed with so many skeletons in his closet, I can't even imagine why the guy is still in the race. And then it dawns on me, the only reason he's in the race is because he's really a Democrat liberal in disguise. Now, I'm no fan of Mitch McConnell. I've chastised him on this show on more than one occasion. But the Democrats finally figured out the only way to take Mitch McConnell out is to put somebody in a primary to weaken him so badly that their own faulty candidate, like Allison Lundigan Grimes, has a shot. And that's what's going on here. Matt Bevin says he's against bailout and wants to lower our taxes, a smaller government, and he's going to lend millions of his own dollars to his own campaign to run against Mitch McConnell, but took $200,000 from the Connecticut government last year to help him rebuild his factory that burned down due to fire because he didn't have fire insurance. So it's okay for him to take government money, but he's got millions of dollars to lend his campaign. So why did he need a measly $200,000? He's a hypocrite. And stuff like that continues building on. Well, now Matt Bevin on his LinkedIn page, go to LinkedIn.com, folks. It's been changed now. But, you know, one of the things back a few months ago, Matt Bevin had it on his LinkedIn page that he was educated at MIT, leading everyone to believe that he had an MIT degree, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, one of the most prestigious schools in the entire country. Indeed, I would venture to say in the entire world. But apparently that's all been a lie. Matt Bevin never attended MIT as a student. He listed it on his resume. He listed it on his LinkedIn page. But he never attended MIT as a student. What he did was attend a 3-week seminar a three-week seminar that just happened to be on MIT's campus, but it was not sponsored by MIT. It was not affiliated by MIT in any way, shape, or form. So he lied and told the whole world that he went to MIT, like we were going to fall for this guy being a savior, a great cowboy. Once again, another lie that he got caught in. We can't continue down this road, folks. We can't continue down this road. Matt Bevin is proving more and more to me, anyway. And, you know, I've offered to let him come on the show, let him talk about it, but he won't do it because he doesn't want to talk about it. He will not address the Connecticut government money that he took. He will not address the lies and the shambles in his own life. He won't address the lies that he continues getting caught in. So he won't come on air. He's like Allison Lundigan Grimes. You know, these guys want you to go on air, and they want to tell you everything that they're about, but they don't want to answer any questions. And I've made sure that the Bevin campaign understands. If you're coming on to the Ed Springs Show and you're coming on to the MVM Radio Network with any of our hosts, our listeners deserve the truth. We will have an open dialogue. You will answer the questions that our listeners want answered, but you're not going to come on to this show or anything on the MVM Radio Network. Since I own it, I'll speak for every other host on this program. They're not going to come on air and think that they can just go ahead and sugarcoat and say anything they want to say without answering the questions. You guys deserve better. And that's what I've let the Bevin camp know. So all of a sudden, you know, I haven't heard back from them like they want to get on the show or not, and that's okay. That's all right. They don't have to come on here. But if they do, they're going to tell you the truth. And that's what I'm after. So, you know, we've got all these different things going on. We're going to take a quick break for our first break of the night. And when we get back, we've got so many things going on. Sean Hannity and Cumulus Radio. We've got a study about a Cato Institute that finally backs up what most people know about welfare. You know, and so much more. It's just incredible. Stick around. You're listening to the Ed Springs Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. We will be right back. So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com.
Get over it, Don Henley, of course, singing lead. Who in the right mind could not just love the Eagles, man? And I hear songs like that, it reminds me of why I've always been a big fan of these guys since they came around back in the 70s. You know, I like people to tell it how it is. So, you know, maybe that's why I live solo. I don't know. It's crazy. But we've got so much more to get into tonight, folks. And by the way, if you want to call into the show, please call 858-683-1326. If you're in the Louisville area, check out 502-805-0334. For you guys who are in the listening queue right now, listening to us live, just hit that little number one on your dial pad, and we'll be sure to get you on air as quickly as we can. And, you know, for the dozens of you who are in there, you know the game. Just hit the one. For everybody else, tune in, man. Join the live chat right here in the studio. Just go ahead and sign on in. We're right there with the live chat. I tell you, it's interesting. Before we kind of move on, it's interesting because I was noticing today, you know, I started catching some flack. I know that's kind of hard to believe, right? Ed catching flack from somebody. He's such a nice young man. Yeah, believe what you want. But I was catching some flack and some heat because a lot of people thought that I took it real easy on David James last night for coming on and talking about Barbara Shanklin, that I didn't rip him apart and scream and yell and, you know, all the crazy stuff. Well, I've got to be honest with you folks. You know, there's a time and a place for that. But I want to set the record straight here real quick. It wasn't that I took it easy on Councilman David James. Councilman David James had a very limited amount of time. I reached out to everybody to try to get them on air. Councilman David James gave me the only available time that he had to come on air. I could waste that time ranting and railing, or I could let Councilman David James explain himself to our listening audience and the reason that he voted the way that he did. And I felt like that was fair. You know, and at the same time, whether you agree with Councilman James, and he certainly admitted himself last night, nobody's going to agree with everything he does. The fact of the matter is, you got to respect somebody that takes it upon themselves to put themselves into the lion's den, especially with somebody like me and the reputation that I have, you know, and come onto this show to explain their position, and whether you like it or not, defend their position. And I clearly let him know I didn't agree with the stance on Barbara Shanklin. I thought she should have been removed. But it's not certainly, if we want to get the answers to you guys, let you hear it straight from the horse's mouth, it's not the best thing in the world to do to anger every guest that comes onto your show just because you can. So we're not going to do that here. Councilman James came on. I let him know I didn't agree with his vote, but I respect the hell out of the fact that he came on and took it upon himself to defend it. And we'll go ahead and live with that. In the meantime, Newsbusters is now reporting, and yeah, I know we've got a lot of other things to cover, but I find this amusing. Newsbusters reported on Friday that, you know, the liberal media, of course, everybody knows, is out there saying that Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh are on their way out the door, that they have screwed the pooch, that they're no longer as powerful as they once were, and they're trying to convince the whole world that conservative radio is on the way down because these two guys are going out the window, all based on the fact that Cumulus Network, which has about 50 stations these guys are on, have dropped Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. So everybody is saying, woo, yay. The conservatives are on the way out. Turns out it's a lie. It's a lie. Conservative talk radio host Sean Hannity fired Cumulus. He did not like the way that the owners of Cumulus were managing their stations. He felt it was bad on him, bad on his reputation, bad on everything about it. So he fired them. He no longer wanted to work and do any work that was going to be carried by Cumulus. You know, and it's really interesting because the reason that Cumulus is having problems is they've lost about 50% of their listeners since they bought out all the stations back in 2011. So Cumulus lately has been blaming Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, saying that they're the reason they've lost 50% of their listeners since 2011, which you've got to really realize and remember one thing. They were the leaders for Cumulus all the way until this new company bought them in 2011. Now they're not. Cumulus has lost 50% of their listeners. So why is that? Because Cumulus changed their format. They wanted to go to a more liberal radio format and start shouting to the whole world how welfare is good and working for a living is evil. So Hannity numbers are actually a lot better than Cumulus numbers overall, and he's the one that fired them. Just to give you some example, in Los Angeles, KABC's ratings are down 62% since the new ownership in September 2011. Handy is down 13%. And that's probably because of the new format change that affected him. But 13 compared to 62, he's still on the way up. In New York, WABC's ratings are down 45%. Hannity is down 3.2%. You know, in July, just this past month, Hannity's 3 hours in New York and L.A. are ranked number one, number two, and number three for all broadcasting on every station. So when you look at this, how can you sit here and say Hannity and Limbaugh are the ones bringing the ship down at Cumulus? Clearly, the numbers tell us otherwise. You know, Cumulus management needs to take responsibility because they just screwed up by getting rid of Hannity. They're going to go even further out the window, or I should say Hannity got rid of them. They're going to further out the window or further down the totem pole than they are right now. So it's going to be really interesting. You know, so now we've got that out of the way. Let's look at what the problem is here. You know, I want to say welcome back to our good friend Laura. Apparently, she hit a dead spot on the road. She chimed in and signed out. So welcome back, Laura. You know, let's go ahead and put this out there. Liberal radio wants to continue telling us that the whole world is evil, that it's everybody else's fault. They don't want to take any responsibility for anything. You can't provide for yourself. You know, and we've created this big welfare state. It's all the U.S. is. And people say that when you sit here talking about others that are on welfare, that you're cold and cruel, you're mean, you're evil, you don't know anything. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but you're wrong. There's nothing mean or evil about pointing out the obvious that there are too many people on welfare, draining the economy in this country because they don't want to take care of their own self, they don't want to take care of their obligations, and instead of saying, hey, look, the reason I'm broke is because I won't go out and work a job, they want to sit there and say it's this guy's reason I'm broke because he's making $30 an hour at a place he worked at for 25 years, and I shouldn't have to wait 25 years to get there and go to work at McDonald's for seven. Life's a bitch. Get over it. There's the Eagles again. Well, what we found out now is there's been a study conducted by the Cato Institute that just came out, and it verifies everything that we've been saying on this show for years. We have made the welfare system in this country a more attractive job, if you will, than going to work and actually doing something every day. According to this study conducted by the Cato Institute, in many states, welfare pays better than work. Yep, you heard me right. To give you some example, if you want to look at the wage equivalent benefits, welfare benefits for a mother and two kids, go to Hawaii. The benefits total up to be equivalent value to $60,590 a year. That's 60,000, folks, in Hawaii. How many jobs are out there paying $60,000 a year for the average worker who's paying the taxes that are paying this clown? Think about it. According to the Cato Institute, we also have 33 states and the District of Columbia that offer welfare benefits that are greater than someone working an $8 an hour full-time job would be. So you can't take an $8 an hour job because your welfare benefits are paying you better than what you could get working. 12 states and the District of Columbia, 12 states and D.C., their welfare packages pay better than $15 an hour jobs. You make more than $15 an hour collecting welfare. How many jobs are out there that are left in this country paying $15 an hour or better? So you see, we don't have to make this stuff up. The things we've been talking about for years have been out there. Nobody wanted to pay attention to it. Now we're finally getting the Cato Institute to put the numbers out and let us know. You know, and you know, quite frankly, Cato senior fellow Michael Tanner made the statement that there is no evidence that people on welfare are lazy. When you look at these numbers, you kind of got to agree with that. Now, I will admit to some degree, you know, a lot of people that I've thought of being on welfare, I felt were lazy. And I believe that there are a lot of people on welfare that are lazy. But I don't believe that applies to all. But people also aren't stupid. You know, I'll be quite honest with you. If I could make more money to not do anything, Why not? If somebody wanted to pay me $100,000 a year to shut my mouth and not go on the radio again, please, give me a call. I'll take it. There's nothing that says you have to be here. I mean, the reality is, and no, I wouldn't, by the way, folks. I can't be bought off. But, you know, the reality is that if you can get more for not working than you can working, a smart person is going to take what's going to give them more bang for the buck. I'm sorry. That's just it. So if you're going to pay somebody more money than they get working, why would you go to work? And that's the problem. And that's the liberal agenda right here in the U.S. When you have more than half of the people in this country are on some type of government assistance, we have a serious, serious problem. When 47% of the people are using some form of food stamps, and that's only one example of government assistance, we have got a serious, serious problem. And when you see a country and its leadership like Barack Obama sitting there trying to cram Obamacare down your throat to make it even worse and put these small businesses out of work, we've got even more problems. Small business can't survive under the environment that we're in. And quite frankly, 70% of all jobs in this country are provided by small business. So if you put 70% of the people out of work, there's not enough jobs for anybody, then you got 30% of the people who are going to ultimately pay the price for them. It's not rocket science, and it doesn't take a mathematician to make you understand. We've got serious, serious problems. And until we find a way to get the government out of the damn way, let the private sector take care of itself and start creating the jobs and let this thing really take off, let freedom ring, let liberty in America survive, then we're going to continue going down this road to destruction. And that's exactly where we're at. So I want, you know, the Cato Institute put this out. I'm very, very thankful they did. And just by the way, just for you who don't know, there are now 126 low-income federal government programs today. Today. 72 of those 126 programs offer cash. Yeah, you heard me right. Cash or in-kind benefits. You think we don't have problems? Think again. Since LBJ, back in the late 60s, declared the so-called war on poverty, we have spent, as a nation, over $15 trillion. $15 trillion on anti-poverty programs. Now, I will tell you this. If you take these anti-poverty programs out of the way and get government completely out of the way, and stop this liberal agenda we've been stuck with. And when I say liberal, you notice I'm not saying just Democrat. I'm using the term liberal intentionally. Because the Republican and the Democrats in this country are no more than one and the same, and we always call them the Uniparty. If the Republican, the conservative Republicans, wanted to stop this train wreck, they could. By having the balls to follow and stand by the strength of their conviction. But they don't. They're scared to lead. So they'd rather let the daggone Democrats take all the control, blame it on liberalism, so that they've got something to whine, moan, groan, and complain about and keep themselves in office at the expense of making sure that we're going further down the road to poverty. It's all an ego thing. But it is interesting because if you look at the $15 trillion that we have spent on anti-poverty programs since LBJ declared this crap over 40 years ago, it's actually about equal to our national debt. America's national debt, $15, $16 trillion. The anti-poverty programs, $15, $16 trillion. Think about it. If the government was out of the way and they were just spending what they were supposed to spend and make what they're supposed to make, we'd be breaking even, right? We wouldn't have a national debt. How much better would your taxes be today? How much more could you provide for your family? Think about it. It's not by coincidence. You know, some of the other things going on, I've got to put this out. New York City, a pair of gun runners just got caught smuggling firearms into New York City. And what they were doing, they were hiding these illegal guns in luggage that they were carrying on to buses, discount buses. They weren't going with Greyhound because Greyhound would check your bags out. But these lower-rate discount buses don't check your bags. They offer cheap fares, and quite frankly, they're going to get a great shot at getting away with this. But an undercover city police officer was posing as a gun broker for about 10 months and bought 254 guns from men that were parted from these two guys were part of this illegal smuggling ring. And according to the news, the largest gun seizures in the city, this was it. This coming from Huffington Post. According to the Huffington Post, this is the largest gun seizure in New York City in recent memory. One of the guns was an assault rifle that was disassembled and transported in one of their girlfriend's zebra-striped bag. Now, here's the thing. Because you put all this together, and we're screaming out there about how we need to stop guns. We need to take guns off the street, that we don't need to legalize weapons, that nobody should have the right to carry a weapon. And what I see here is they spent 10 months on an investigation with two guys, just two criminals, and seized 254 guns going into New York City, which has one of the toughest, you know, they've got the strictest, one of the nation's strictest gun control laws there are. These cops took 254 guns off the street. No telling how many got to the street before they found out about it and went into this investigation. No telling how many guns got to the street from other sources. So what this tells me is, and what this proves to me is, once again, that we need the right to bear arms now more than ever. Because as we have continually stated, you can outlaw any gun you want to. You can take the guns from every household in America. You can put them in the middle of a bonfire and melt them down for scrap. But a criminal is still going to get the gun and take it to where they want it at. These particular guns came from North Carolina and South Carolina. Yep, you got it. They smuggled these guns in from North Carolina and South Carolina and took them to New York. Because they were criminals. They didn't care about the gun laws in New York. They didn't care about the gun laws in North and South Carolina. They didn't care about the gun laws when it comes to your luggage and having these guns inside of your luggage traveling around. But that was only 254 guns. How many hundreds more, even thousands more, made it into New York City or other states illegally for this type of smuggling? And yet Barack Obama wants to tell the world that Ed Springsteen owning a weapon is the problem in this country, and the libtards want to sit out there and say, take the guns away from Ed Springsteen. Yeah, go ahead. Because as soon as you do that, Walter Walker and Earl Campbell, the two criminals that were, the smuggling criminals that were arrested here, are going to have their guns in their hand. They're going to have a free shot at me with no worries whatsoever. They're going to walk right in and take anything they want and kill me in the process just because they can. Why not? That's the problem with the libtards and the gun argument. This is a great example of why. You know, and you know, this also brings me to our next story. Mainstream media has continually refused to out black-on-white crime. They refuse to out any black-on-white murders. White girl bleed a lot. You don't hear much about that on mainstream news. You have to go to stuff like WND. We continue to see black mobs attacking and killing white people. We continue to see black mobs singling out a white individual and killing them. We have yet another story coming out of Oklahoma. This one just happened the other day. A white college student, a catcher for his university, is from Australia. His girlfriend is American. Him and his girlfriend had just gotten back from Australia last Wednesday. And on Friday, he went for a jog in Oklahoma, in a town that's only had one murder in 5 years. That's pretty impressive. He's taking a run. Three black teenagers in a black car took one look at him and said, "Hey, that's our target." Followed him, shot him with a .22 in the back of the back of the head. He got a few steps to the side of the road next to a ditch and fell down. Neighbors came running, did everything they could to save him, and he died. Flat out died. The three guys' names, Chancey Luna, James Edwards, and Michael Jones. Chancey Luna is 16 years old, James Edwards is 15, and Michael Jones is 17. According to Duncan Police Chief Danny Ford, the 17-year-old admitted to the murder, said that he was driving the car, and that the 16-year-old, Chancey Luna, is the one who fired the shot that killed Mr. Lane. Three black teenagers with nothing better to do. They were asked why they did that. And the 17-year-old says, "We're just bored. So we wanted to kill somebody. We decided it was going to be him." And then they went on Facebook after it was over and made a post that said, "Bang, two drops in 2 hours. Two people killed in 2 hours, folks." They just felt like doing it. But there's nothing racist about this just because the guy was white. These guys certainly aren't gangbangers because, you know, they just happened to be in a car after getting in an argument with one of their fellow gang members earlier that day. No. This has absolutely nothing to do with any of that, according to the police chief. They were just bored and wanted to make a name for themselves. And, of course, Chancey Luna, the 16-year-old's mom. "Oh, my son isn't that way. My son's a good kid. My son was at home." "How do you know he was at home?" "Well, he was at home when I walked in from work." "Okay. What's that proof?" "You know, anybody will tell you my son is a sweet child, blah, 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 blah." And, of course, the 15-year-old has already been in trouble with gangs and everything else for a while. "Oh, yeah, but there's nothing to see here. Let's look away." The problem with that is this story didn't come from mainstream media, folks. This story came from Australia. The young college man that was killed was an Australian citizen who had just came back to the U.S. to begin his final year of college and play catcher for his baseball team. He was staying with his girlfriend at her home and was just out for a run when these three black teens decided, "That's our target." And then went to brag about how they had dropped two people in 2 hours. And they were on the way to kill somebody else. But the police got to them in time to stop that. We need to stew on that for a while. We'll be right back.
somber from the things that we've all been exposed. We're supposed to be searching for something we never really find. So we hustle and grind, trying to make it me all the time. I find the more you try, the more you fail. So either cry, better to step off stage and give them hell. And mama, I know you're crying because I'm out of my own. I can hear it in your voice when I'm calling you on the phone. But I'm not alone, trust me. Know that I got a home. And yes, my girl left, but my heart will never be stone. So miss me, but please don't cry for me. When we get rich, you're gonna see how life can be. So let's rewind to a time when things were okay. Don't know I can make it happen, but I'll do what it takes. And know that I will always appreciate what you did for me. So keep looking forward to someday.
I know it's hard for you. You've been trying to make it right. I know it's hard for you.
Power to scream my damn name just for now. I'm getting paid big change, wondering how little buddy changed lanes. Everybody trying to say that I couldn't make it this far. When they told me tomorrow, what you looking at me for? I hope this guy, cause you found a star. You live for today, I live for tomorrow. For all times, the way we living, large channels, what I'm delivering. Hard times we live in, so my cash is hard pressed. In between the bedrooms is hidden, so I can guard it my best. So that one day, someday, we can survive like the rest.
I know it's hard for you. You've been trying to make it right. I know it's hard for you.
All right, folks, I figured you needed a little bit of JT502, his song Someday, to brighten your mood, to make you feel oh so mellow. You know, like I really care. I tell you, it's crazy. We've got more going on. John McCain and Lindsey Graham, you know, the two liberals who pose as Republican conservatives who want to sit there and kiss Barack Obama's butt and push Obamacare and aid to Egypt and everything else, even though they know that everything they're doing is basically a lie to the American people and what they say their beliefs are. Well, Friday afternoon, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, who would believe it, decided that they were going to jump on Rand Paul's bandwagon after fighting with him just a few days previously. They decided they were going to jump on Rand Paul's bandwagon and tell the whole world that we needed to cut Egypt off from the $1.5 billion of U.S. aid that we give them until conditions improve. it makes this so comical. It makes this so comical because, you know, just earlier, a week ago, John McCain was arguing with Rand Paul against Rand Paul's amendment. Rand Paul said, let's cut the money off from Egypt. Let's put it into our infrastructure. We can build roads, bridges, whatever. You know, let's go ahead and cut the funding off to Egypt because they've just done a military coup. So it's illegal for us to send them money by our own laws in this country. So let's cut it off. We'll take that $1.5 billion. We'll put it into our infrastructure and make America a better place. Made sense, right? John McCain went through and made an argument against Rand Paul's amendment. And he went on to say that if they cut Egypt's aid off, it would hurt Israel. And went on to say that this is a question of whether the senator from Kentucky knows what's better for Israel or if Israel knows what's better for Israel. Lindsey Graham went on basically and made the same argument. I have a letter here from AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. I asked them to comment, we don't support cutting off all assistance to Egypt at this time. So because the Israelis don't want us to cut support to Egypt, well, we're not going to do it. Folks, let me tell you something. I, for one, am sick and tired of thinking that I have to kiss Israel's butt every time something happens in the Middle East. Now, if you have a problem with that, fine. No biggie. Your choice. But I'm sick and tired of worrying about Israel every time something happens in the Middle East. It's not my problem. It's not. When I look at Egypt and a lot of other nations, we continue supporting and sending billions of dollars to these people and other countries, and we call it foreign aid. Let's get real here. The U.S. is in more dire need of any foreign aid right now than anybody I care about across the water. That's the truth. We've got a deficit that continues going out of control, and we continue to want to fund terrorists. Everything that has happened to the United States that involves terrorism has been caused by us. You reap what you sow in this world, folks. We put Osama bin Laden in power. What'd he do? The Twin Towers are gone. We put Saddam Hussein in power. What'd he do? Oh, my God. We had to go there twice to finally get rid of that situation. Hell, we put Fidel Castro in power. Cuba's still a wreck. You know, we continue funding these dictators and funding these terrorists around the world, and we call it foreign aid. It's ridiculous. Israel has went on record time and time again to say that they do not need help from the United States. We have a democracy. We don't need you. Thanks anyway. We have a military. We don't need yours. Thanks anyway. Time and time again they have done this. So let's hold them to their own words. Let them handle their own business. Let's go to the phones. I believe this is Mayo. What can we do for you, sir?
That is it. I agree with what you're saying. Israel can handle itself. I can't remember if it's called the 7-day war or the 10-day war, but four different nations basically declared war on Israel, and they wiped out their whole air forces within like 5 days. They captured territory, pushed them back, and then I think it was under Carter or somewhere around that time. But any conquering nation, have you ever known them to give back property?
No, of course not.
Okay, well, Israel, they captured the Sinai fields of Egypt.
But I've got to be honest with you. Let me take that back. Officially, no. But here in the U.S., we allow the illegal immigrants to come across the border and take most of Texas and most of California. So go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah. No problem. Egypt took the northern oil fields in Egypt, the Sinai fields, I believe they're called, and, you know, to try to create peace and say, okay, we're going to do this, agree to it, quit the, you know, we'll stop the fight, et cetera. They gave territory back. I think the only territory they didn't give back was the Golan Heights or something. And, you know, to try to have peace, but yet still, I mean, you look at them, they're the size of your thumb on the map, surrounded by countries the size of your hand.
Right.
And they can take them all on. You know, they're the way they're trained. So, yes, I agree with you. We need to let Israel decide what's best for Israel. Which they, any nation, I don't care if it's Israel, et cetera, to follow up with what you're saying on Egypt, why are we also, I mean, we're at war in Afghanistan, and we're still giving Afghanistan like $300-something million a year in aid.
And that's in addition to what it's costing us for being there. You know, and that's very true, Mayo. And, you know, when you look at Israel, too, I mean, let's make it clear here. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee does not in any way, shape, or form represent Israel at all. They do not represent the nation of Israel. And that's the problem. You know, these government people like Graham and McCain put these little things together, and then they want to act and give these guys credibility. The nation of Israel has said time and time again, we can handle our own business and stay the hell out of it. We continue trying to put our nose in their business. It gives us a great justification to cost a lot, the American taxpayer, a hell of a lot of money, so that these daggone defense contractors and these politicians can get their cream right off the top every dime that they steal out of our taxpayer money and call it foreign aid and defense. It's bullshit. There's no way around
that.
Saying,
you know, you reap what you sow. I mean, if you look back, I mean, the movie was made by Tom Hanks, Charlie Wilson's War. I mean, it would have only back then it cost us $1 million a year to help, you know, with a little infrastructure, some schools, et cetera. And we would not be at war with them. We would have another ally, you know, in the Middle East instead of, you know, once the Russians, the Cold War, and it's like, eh, the heck with them, and stepping back. You know, other nations, you know, I don't care if it's an earthquake, a mudslide, a flood, the American people, what they donate out of the goodness of their hearts to, I mean, people, strangers, other nations they've never even met around the world, they want to do it through charity, the Red Cross, things of that nature. Yes, I agree with it. But we need to stop being the police of the world. you know, if a country wants us to be there, invite us in, and then if any of our, you know, give us rights. If any of our soldiers are attacked by your people, we have the right to protect ourselves. We can't shoot them. You know, take away this stupid for, you know, men and women in uniform. You can only shoot if fired upon three times kind of dumb rule.
Well, that's always been a paradox. I mean, you know, when I served in the military, I was there from 83 to 87. I was there, you know, when Beirut was bombed and all the other stuff. We lost all the Marines. We lost over 212 Marines in the barracks in Beirut, okay, because these guys weren't allowed to load their weapons. They see a truck coming at them fully loaded, you know, with bombs and everything else, and all they could do is scream, 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 get out of the way, get out of the way. You know, try to load the weapons. By the time they got the weapons loaded, they were already gone, you know. So this is the same continuing trend. You have to be shot at three times before you can load the weapon. We didn't learn anything from that time period. Well, we did, but these libtards that think they want to run this country, and I'm not even just talking about Democrats here. I mean, let's face it, George Bush played every game he could not to actually have to serve in active duty. You know, he calls himself a veteran and says that he served, and he flew a daggone plane onto an aircraft carrier and said, mission accomplished in Iraq, you know, and then it went on for another 10 years. You know, this is all a game. This is all a joke. This is politicians and ego and power and money interests taking care of each other, you know, and it's not just a foreign aid. I mean, let's look at the other thing here. You know, let's look at free trade agreements, for example. Just last month, Economic Policy Institute did a breakdown on the U.S.-Korea free trade agreement. Now, we know that's a joke. NAFTA's been a joke. Every free trade agreement we ever done has been a joke. But, you know, we were sold to this. The Obama administration went through telling the whole world that this Korean-U.S. free trade agreement was going to increase jobs. It was going to support 70,000 American jobs just from exports alone, that we were going to make $10 to $11 billion more in exports than what, you know, we were importing from Korea. So we were going to have a $5 billion net gain just in that. And the whole world saying, all right, woohoo, let's do it. The problem is we repeated history just like we did with NAFTA. We're not making a damn thing. The Korean Free Trade Agreement has cost us 40,000 jobs. The first year the Korean Free Trade Agreement took effect, the domestic exports, our exports to Korea, fell $3.5 billion, and Korea increased $5.8 billion. So we had a net loss the first year, and it continues losing even more, and it's costing us thousands of jobs. So it's not just a foreign aid that's taking the money out of our pockets. It's also these idiotic free trade agreements that are costing us jobs who aren't paying taxes now to help fund the money they're taking out of our pockets to send overseas.
Yeah,
it's a scam.
It should be, well, it should be equal. There was, I think it was like, I want to say 5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, but it's like in different industries, you know, textile, ceramics, you know, et cetera. But it was like for like shirts and pants, China could import 1 million shirts and 500,000 pairs of pants, you know, according to that trade agreement at the time. Well, they did that year 5 million shirts and 3 million pairs of pants or something. So the market was flooded. Other, American manufacturers couldn't, keep up and had to close factories and, you know, et cetera. Bring, number one, the job, I mean, like, I can't remember, it was Ken or one of your other callers, Paul maybe. Keep the jobs here, then the tax money stays here, and you have working people, you know, in the neighborhoods that care, you know, you stop the, that would be one way for the American aid, you know, get the jobs back here. If it's Intel that opens up a plant in, what was it, India or Thailand? Or
India.
You know,
it was India.
Then charge them an import tax, even though they're an American company, because they're costing the U.S. Tax dollars. Apple with the iPhone, you know, 98% of it, you know, the motherboard's made by Foxconn in Taiwan or Thailand. You know, 98% of all the parts are made, you know, over in the, you know, the East. Charge them an import tax on the iPad, the iPhone, the iPod, anything that comes into the United States, and then maybe I can't say I'm, you know, it's a game or I disagree with it. If Apple has smarter attorneys than the IRS and, you know, is keeping their money offshore and they're not breaking the law because that's in the tax code, good for them. So make it, you know, like I said, put an import. Any person, whether it's Ford, sorry, I like Ford, but they have their, what is it, the chair factory and down in Mexico mm-hmm. where they only pay people mm-hmm. like $4.75 an hour American.
Well, they're still paying more than Mexican employers, right? Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you got to understand it, though, but they're not making, you know, the Ford trucks and everything
more,
in Mexico. But see, that's what these free trade agreements do, because it's cheaper for Ford to make a product in Mexico and keep the prices down. You know, you can't go out and sell a vehicle for $10,000 or $11,000 like these small Ford Focuses or things like that when you're paying, you know, $25 an hour because of union contracts and benefits and all the other stuff. You just don't have a profit margin there. It's a loser. So you gotta build it somewhere where it's going to make money. And in Mexico, that money is good money for that economy. So, you know, it's not like I really blame Ford for that. But when I look at these free trade agreements, though, here's the reality. Okay, what happens is you enter into a free trade agreement with Korea, for example. You know, everybody think, you know, remember when Kia came in here? Kia is a Korean car. It's a Korean auto manufacturer. Kia came in here. You could go buy one Korean car, one Kia, and you would get one free. They would give away a free car, a second free car. All you had to do was pay the U.S. taxes. You know, now it was a stripped-down version. You didn't get all electric windows and all of that stuff, but you still got a second car free. They were able to do that because of these trade imbalances, and they were offset by the Korean government. You know, when you enter into an agreement, let's use the auto industry, for example. With Kia, you can import as many cars as you want to from the Koreans. The U.S. will allow them to ship as many as they want to here. That's it. They can ship as many as they want to. But Korea will limit the American car exports to, let's say, 500 a year. So we might import 20,000 Kias a year and let Koreans sell it on our soil, but they'll only allow us to sell 500 in exchange. And that's 500 total. So if you get 150 from Chrysler and 150 from General Motors, that's 300 total. You're only allowed to ship 200 Fords, no more. So that's 500 combined between the big three automakers. That's how these trade tariffs work. It's an economic imbalance. You know, so you're costing jobs, you're taking taxpayer money out of the market, and then you're still funding terrorist groups like what's going on in Egypt with a military coup. Everything about this screams out that somebody is either stupid or they think we are, you know. And then you talk about, you know, you can't fire unless you've been fired on three times, and we have the right to defend ourselves in foreign nations. And then, you know, we could go for hours about Benghazi cover-up and Hillary Clinton sitting there and letting Chris Stevens and the other guys die, you know, and that is
Gene, you ignorant, misguided slut.
I mean, that's what I think of Hillary Clinton. She's nothing but an ignorant, misguided slut. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. You know, it's crazy what goes on in this country. But unfortunately, people don't want to spend the time to get involved. And more importantly, Mayo, we're completely out of time, man. I appreciate the phone call, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. You know, we'll get into a lot more of this later. Folks, I've got to tell you, you know, we have got to wake up in this country. There's no other way around it. We are on the path to doomsday. If you want to see what a third world country looks like, right here in Louisville, go down to the West End at night. Go to some of these poor inner city neighborhoods, primarily at night, and you're going to see survival of the fittest in real life form. People killing people because they want their tennis shoes. People killing people. Why? Because we were bored and wanted to watch somebody die. I mean, that's the reality of the world we live in. And that's going to get worse. It's no longer just affecting inner city neighborhoods. We're now moving into popular areas. The suburban rich white guy's neighborhood now has major drug problems. Why, yes. Yes, they do. You know, and it's because it all started somewhere. But in the meantime, we're going to tell our police to go out and write tickets for speeding and for seatbelts and ignore the crime that they're really seeing because, hey, you know what? That costs us money. We want to make money. Our Department of Justice says if you're black, you're okay. If you're white, you've done something wrong. It's just as racist as anything they've ever accused the white people of doing. But Eric Holder thinks that's acceptable. Barack Obama is nothing more than a communist, socialist, Muslim-loving guy that you ever think of. That's my opinion. You can accuse me of being bad. You can accuse me of being evil. You can accuse me of anything you want to. But as of today, we still have this limited thing left in this country called the First Amendment, and that's freedom of speech. And I will exercise it every day of my life until they take my voice away. It's that simple. And my challenge to you is, to exercise your freedom of speech, to exercise your right to assembly, to exercise your right to carry a gun. I want you guys to go out into the streets and protest to your local governments about the harassment that goes on from your police, about the illegal things that the Obama administration is doing that has cost American lives. I want you guys to tell the whole world no to Hillary in 2016. But you have to get involved, because until you get involved, things stay the way they are. Now, I talk every night till I'm blue in the face. I spend 12 to 14 hours a day, every day, making sure that my information and my facts are correct so that I can bring them to you at night so that you can see the truth. You want the truth? Welcome to MVM Radio. But the reality is, there's one question left to ask at that point. And that question is simply, can you handle the truth? That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be with us, as usual, on our Wednesday night. Don't forget Thursday night, TNT Thursday Night Truth Show, and Sunday night at 7 o'clock with a good friend, Kim Molman. In the meantime, folks, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you tomorrow night at 7. Take care. God bless. So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding, or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.